Our first speaker in this portion is Tony Bisiglio and Clint Weinbrenner, got that backwards, from Cisco. I don't have any notes for you, Clint. Sorry, you get no introduction. Tony is a co-founder and lab director at Acumen Security. Previously, he was a member of the Cisco certifications team for FIPS and CC evaluations. And before joining Cisco, Tony was both a FIPS evaluator and crypto module test lab manager. Tony's topic, along with Clint, will be posing and hopefully answering the question, is common criteria the new FIPS 140? How about it? Please welcome Clint and Tony.
Thank you, Aaron. So, thanks everybody for taking the time to watch me present, watch Clint and I present today. So, the question is common criteria the new FIPS 140? What are we going to talk about? So, we'll just do some quick introductions. And then for those not in the know, which I'm not sure how many that'll be, we'll just give a little bit of background on FIPS 140 and common criteria. Then what we'll do is we'll do a functional comparison between between both of them. What does FIPS require? What does common criteria require? We'll talk about testing a little bit and how they compare. And then finally, we'll have some conclusions. And then maybe we'll answer if common criteria really is the new FIPS 140. So first, just a little bit, who am I? My name's Tony. I've been doing this stuff for a long time. Yes, 16 years, that does mean I'm getting old. I've been at two cert labs, including my current one, and also at a product vendor, as Aaron had mentioned. I've done a lot of stuff. Sort of been part of a lot of certifications, so I've been around the block, so I've seen a thing or two. And when I'm not doing this stuff, what do? Kids, lots of kids. I have four, so they keep me very, very, very busy. So with that being said, Clint?
So hi, my name's Clint Weinbrenner, and you saw Tony said he had been doing this for 16 years, but the truth of the matter is, he's really been doing this for as long as I have, plus about 3 months. So don't let that fool you. And where have I been doing this? I've done this with three separate certification labs and currently with Cisco as a vendor. And what have I done? A little bit of everything. Everything from routing and switching to security, unified communications, you name it, I've had my hands on it at some time. And what do I do in my spare time? I hunt, I eat bacon, and I'm an amateur rock star.
So the question at hand is CC the new FIPS 140? So first off and foremost, why are we even asking this question? What in my experience, both when I both from a lab and from a vendor, is very often you're not doing one or the other. It's most common, in fact, Ashit, I think, just got done presenting on it. Companies are doing this in parallel. And of course, more certs means more money. More certs means more time dedicated to certifying products. More certs means less time building things that are cool and more time looking at government requirements. And then finally, when you look at it, they're actually testing a lot of the same stuff. So just thinking about it, is common criteria, is it the new FIPS 140? You're not seeing as many individual FIPS or individual CC evaluations, a lot of tandem. So, Clint.
So talking about FIPS 140, I know a lot of you have been involved for a long time, but for the benefit of those of you who have not, FIPS in some iteration has been around since the early 80s with Federal Standard 1027. into FIPS 140-1 in 1994, and then we get into FIPS 140-2 in 2001 and 2002. That's personally where I came into play. It was kind of at the end of 140-1 when I started working for labs in early 2003. They were just making that transition from 140-1 to 140-2, and so there was some people, there were some evaluations completing up with 140-1, and some we were starting new for 140-2. Now, here we are, several years later, and we're still using 140-2. We've seen a development of the ISO standard as a replacement for FIPS 140, but as you can see, that's been going on for 11 years now. Itself. So that's where we're at right now. We're still waiting for the final version and whatever happens with the Department of Commerce, Secretary of Commerce, as we find out what the next iteration of the FIPS 140 standard is.
Okay. Thanks. And that's FIPS 140-next. So just a brief, a very, very, very brief timeline of common criteria. This is your second minor history lesson of the day. Started a long, long time ago. It actually started from three different standards, from Europe, from the US, and also from Canada. It was first published in 1994, and then throughout the 90s and into the 2000s, there have been various iterations, all the way up to today with the new CCRA, which is moving forward. So why are we talking about, why are we even considering that the common criteria might be the new FIPS 140? So historically, common criteria is looked at a lot of things. I used to call it sort of roll your own evaluation. Whereas FIPS 140 is a conformance standard, common criteria has traditionally been an assurance standard. FIPS, if you do something, do it this way. Common criteria, if you do something, tell us how you do it and prove it. So this was good, and this lasted for a long, long time, as you can see. A couple years back, as many of you probably know, there was this shift to moving more exclusively to the use of protection profiles, and specifically the concept of a collaborative protection profile that wasn't just dictated from up above, from the government up above pushing down their requirements. It incorporated feedback from the vendor community, feedback from the laboratory community, feedback from the government user. These requirements, if you look at a number of the current protection profiles, they're pretty crypto heavy. So you say, okay, crypto, that's FIPS purview. Why are we doing this twice or more times? So, and it started off slowly. For the longest time, there was one. But now, as time has gone by, it's moved from just one collaborative protection profile to two, to three, to four. And now there's a wide variety of network devices, two different data encryption, to more, and it's very pervasive, and it's very technology specific, and it's very very targeted. And so you show me yours, I'll show you mine. So we're not talking about poker hands. What we're talking about is what do each of these different what do each of these different standards look at, and what are each of these different evaluation paradigms, if you will, what do they look at? Because it's great if they're testing the same stuff, but if they're not testing it the same way, or one of them doesn't test it very well, then that's where that sort of that differentiator, and maybe that's where we find out if common criteria is the next FIPS 140.
So when we're looking at a product from a FIPS perspective, what are we looking at specifically? When I train people and when I talk about this, I always talk about the life cycle of the key in question. And that starts to me with key generation. And key generation obviously has several parts of that. You have entropy collection, you have what you're doing with the entropy after you find it. And from the next part in that life cycle, how do we enter, output, or establish those keys between two entities that we're trying to secure the communications? After we have those keys established, after we have them accepted and we have something going, how are we going to store them? And finally, when we're through with using these keys and we're done storing them, how and when and where do we zeroize them? So from a FIPS only perspective, I think we look at cryptographic primitives. How does the algorithm itself work? How are we feeding that algorithm with good, healthy, safe keys? And how are we then, you know, making sure that key does not fall into an improper hand? And the transition then is, then what common criteria gets to look at?
So FIPS 140 certainly looks at a lot of very, very, very mathematical, very crypto-specific stuff. But what does common criteria look at? Well, certainly if you talk to some people, everything. And then if you talk to some people, not enough. So we're not just talking about cryptography here. We're talking about access control. We're talking about secure management. We're talking about RBACs. We're talking about data flows, secure logging. We're talking about everything. So, and included in this everything is very specifically cryptography. So again, we're seeing a theme here. So you have FIPS 140, which is a very crypto-specific standard, and then you have this big giant landscape type certification where crypto is still a pretty significant piece of it. Again, we're looking at those sort of dual efforts here for things that are potentially really similar. So we ask, what are you actually looking at? We've talked about it a number of times, but what are you actually looking at here? So this is certainly not an all-inclusive list of an algorithms that FIPS 140 has. I've already got some slides coming up that'll be kind of eye charts, and I do apologize for that. Just to sort of get a feel for the type of algorithms, type of cryptographic algorithms that we're looking at. So we look at symmetric, we look at hashing, we look at macking, we look at signatures. And you see a wide variety of newer algorithms and also older algorithms. Basically any of the building block components, if you will, that you need to build a crypto system. Now, what does common criteria look at? Now, I just wanted to, before I go into this, just wanted to be pretty specific here that for comparison's sake, I looked at the network device protection profile. The reason for that is, one, it's the one I have the most experience with of the new, more recent protection profiles. And then two, it's the most commonly evaluated one, at least here in the US. So you see, it covers all the same stuff. It covers symmetric algorithms, hashing, macking, signatures, key establishment algorithms, things of that nature. And let's look at the list. Well, they're very similar. Now, they're not identical, you'll note. Common criteria, and this is sort of a common theme, common criteria is more of a subset of FIPS. So FIPS 140 is sort of broad for various applications. Common criteria, at least currently, is a subset of that. Now, I also need to sort of position it that noting that these are collaborative and they take input from not only US-centric companies, but worldwide companies, the potential for these algorithms to diverge more and more is there, right? So perhaps most of the algorithms today are very US-centric. They meet essentially, for the most part, US DoD needs. But in the future, and future revisions, we'll very likely have things that are out of that purview. So what else are we looking at? Okay, what are you allowed to do? Let's make sure it works. Self-testing. FIPS is pretty prescriptive with regards to, remember, it's a conformance standard, so it's pretty prescriptive with the self-tests that are required. You have known answer tests at startup, an integrity test, tests that happen if you generate a random number, tests that happen if you generate keys. They have very, very prescriptive tests. Let's see what Common Criteria does. Does it look at self-testing? Oh, it definitely does. You again have that software load test or that upgrade test. But then, you know, it's whatever you think your product needs. So there is some guidance, and there'll be more as there are revisions to different, specifically to the network device protection profile. There will be more and more specifics around that. But right now, we're not going to tell you what to do, but do something that you can justify. So who wins this one? I'm not sure. Some people think the FIPS tests are maybe a bit over-prescriptive. Some people might say that Common Criteria being so, or at least the Network Device Protection Profile being so open, it allows for insecure practices. You be the judge. Okay, let's make some keys. What sort of generation is required? And here's a whole bunch of numbers and letters. Just of note, they specify a specific random number generator that can be used, specific versions of the KDFs associated with protocols, the ways to derive keys from passwords, things of that nature. So they're pretty prescriptive. Let's look at Common Criteria. Okay, again, we see the trend here. Again, random number generators, key establishment protocols, a lot of things of that nature. Couple things of note, though. FIPS still allow the KDF as part of an older version of TLS that there are some known negatives about, so they still allow some stuff that's a little more insecure. Common Criteria does away with that. Also doesn't necessarily allow SNMP. SNMP, you can use it in some cases depending upon, you know, exactly what you're doing. But so again, I think we're seeing another trend here. Maybe if your use case is more general, maybe FIPS makes sense. Maybe if your use case is a little more specific and requires a little more diligence, maybe Common Criteria is the right one. Here's some of the iGraphs. So let's put some keys somewhere. So this is key storage. So there wasn't a really easy way for me to specify it out. So I'm doing something a little different and just pulling the specific requirements from the standard. So here we talk about protecting a bunch of different things within a crypto module. You're allowed to store keys either plain text or encrypted. You have to protect any keys that are stored, any private keys that are stored. You have to prevent modification of any public keys that are stored. And you have to, specific to any certification, you have to provide some paper evidence of this. But it's relatively prescriptive. Now, a couple things it doesn't talk about here. So this is very specific to things that are stored stored on a device. It's not it's not as applicable to ephemeral keys, let's say, or keys that are just stored on RAM. These tend to focus on things like certificate key pairs or symmetric keys that are pre-shared keys that are used for whatever reason. What does Common Criteria say? Now, FIPS is very verbose about this, so surely Common Criteria will have a bunch to say about it. Oh, and they have one thing. Just you have to prevent reading of pre-shared keys, symmetric keys, and private keys. Of note here, again, these are not focusing on ephemeral keys. Again, these are focusing on keys that are stored on the device. Now, you might say they don't specifically say that or read that. but in practice, it's the same. So I would say here, it's a wash, right? So we're providing essentially the same level of security for each certification. All right, it's time to clean up. What's required? So FIPS, very elegant. It says you have to provide a method to zeroize all your plain text keys or private keys within the module. Okay, it's pretty straightforward. Comma criteria, like considering the storage requirements, probably going to be even shorter. Maybe we'll get it down to one or two lines. Nope. Nope. So, common criteria is pretty specific. Whereas FIPS is not particularly prescriptive, and these, just as a disclaimer, these requirements have changed a bit, especially as version 2.0 of the NDCPP comes. So some of the read verification and the things of that nature have changed, but this was just from the original network device protection profile, collaborative protection profile. Again, so this is interesting, right? So if you're considering security for a product, or if you're considering what is going to bring the most value, because ultimately, while each of these are, and many people consider them a necessary evil, the one that brings the most value is there's importance given to that. So common criteria, so now we're not talking just about things stored on flash or things stored on disk, but they also specifically talk about keys stored in volatile memory as well. So we have, so common criteria in this particular case is much more prescriptive and I think covers a lot more. So I think from a requirements perspective, I think common criteria wins that one as well. All right, let's see. Okay, it's time for testing. So functional requirements are great, but they're only half the battle. So one of the key points and one of the key reasons that this is even a talk that I can have or a consideration that I can have is the newer protection profiles not only specify functional requirements, which are very important to vendors out there, but also testing requirements, which are equally important to test labs and also government stakeholders and things of that nature. So FIPS 140, how do you test algorithms? Everyone knows you test algorithms. You get vectors from your lab. You run the vectors through your module. Give the answers back, you get a CAVP certificate. So that's how FIPS tests it. How does common criteria test it? Oh, it's the same thing. So this is exactly the same thing. Now, at least in the current protection profiles and most protection profiles going forward, they don't say, get a CAV certificate. What they say is they take essentially the validation system and then they describe it in the protection profile. There are a couple reasons for this. Most importantly, common criteria in these collaborative protection profiles are international. So cryptography, as you know, is very sensitive to nations, to each individual nation. So they want to have their own sort of special sauce in this, if you will, on ways to exercise the procedures that are included in the protection profile. And having all the verification run through NIST, while NIST is a great organization, won't necessarily fly. So let's give this one a tie. Okay, key storage. What does FIPS 140 say about key storage? Now, it's relatively generic, because remembering that FIPS 140 is not technology specific. It's meant to be technology agnostic, so it can be applied across across different technologies. But it's, you know, you're getting in, you're verifying how things are stored, you're trying to get spit stuff out, you're really trying to break it and just trying to make sure that it's, that the functionality is there. So FIPS is pretty, you know, pretty detailed with regards to that. What does Common Criteria say? Common Criteria says that you need to read a security target. So this isn't really, so we're not doing any hands-on testing specific to this. This is tell us a story and we'll make sure your story is good enough. Now that's, you know, certainly there are challenges, to doing more specific testing. So this might be right for this specific testing requirement. But in this particular case, it's not actually exercised by Common Criteria. So I would say in this case, FIPS 140 is a bit more in depth. So interestingly enough, now we're seeing that there are some areas where Common Criteria dives deeper, and then there are some areas where FIPS dives deeper. So maybe maybe they're not as similar, as exact as I postulated at the beginning, if you will. Key zeroization. So these are both eye charts, but just so you know, FIPS 140 says enter zeroization, make it zeroized, and then verify that it was zeroized. Common Criteria, on the other hand, and there's a lot of talk around this. Well, and this was in the Common Criteria community, this was a pretty big topic of conversation for a long time. And what they settled on is that reading that story again is sufficient. Now, for something that's technology specific, and then also both technology specific and then also meant for what we established earlier as sort of the higher, you know, more secure standard, why would the testing sort of be more gentle here? So there are a couple reasons. One, at least in the newer protection profiles, the collaborative ones thus far, looking at things like doing source code reviews or things that require instrumented builds or direct access to memory locations, things of that nature. Thus far, those have been avoided. Reasoning for that, one, it's costly. Two, people don't want to necessarily share that information. You know, things of that nature. It's international, so you don't necessarily, one country doesn't want another country looking at code that'll go into your networks. FIPS 140, on the other hand, they don't have those constraints. Typically, if you're going for FIPS 140, you're targeting the U.S. federal market, and that's a key point, by the way, that we'll touch on later. It's a trusted third party. You know, they go through all sorts of lab accreditation. So they have more leeway to say, hey, if you're going to be certified, you have to go, and we have to be able to look into your box. Okay, what all can we test? So we can test a bunch of stuff: algorithm correctness, key creation, key storage, key zeroization. Like I mentioned, FIPS 140 looks a little bit very specific, crypto specific. Common Criteria, again, it looks at everything. So some of the things we didn't touch on here, but are very, very relevant. In fact, I would say the biggest difference in what's being tested is Common Criteria also very specifically looks, at least the network device protection profile, looks at full stack protocol. So you're doing a lot of protocol, not just with the crypto implementation, not just with the mathematics, which is what FIPS looks at, but then also essentially what amounts to interoperability, error handling in the protocol, things of that nature. Plus, you get the added goodness of you're testing other functionality within a product. So we'll come back to this one more time. CC the new FIPS 140? Let's see, yes or no. First FIPSM 40-what? This, you know, a couple reasons why it is, right? Common criteria is technology specific, different protection profiles for different technology types. That's not something that FIPS has. It's meant to be a one-size-fits-all standard, and you've seen over the years how those requirements apply to different technology types vary pretty greatly. It's more specific and holistic. Again, you're not just looking at a single crypto implementation that's part of a larger system. You're looking at the system itself. So you're getting more value out of it again. It's recognized in multiple countries. For as good as FIPS 140 is, it's very US specific, very, very Canada specific. There are other countries as well, but it's very, very limited. Common criteria, again, international, used internationally. And it's collaboratively developed. So FIPS standard, as Clint pointed out earlier, what we're testing to, we were testing to in 2002. When I first started doing this stuff, I first started doing common criteria and then I transitioned into FIPS stuff. When I first started doing FIPS stuff back in 2005, they had a conference, a really cool conference, or not conference, a workshop in Hawaii, first one I had went to. And they said, FIPS 140-3 is right around the corner. So common criteria is a bit more dynamic at this point, both functionally and also from a testing perspective. So it's more relevant, if you will, to today's technology. And
you talk about DoD versus
no, you're it's your turn.
So one point I wanted to bring up, Tony and I talked about this earlier. When we talk about CC plus FIPS algorithm certs, we need to remember that's really only for agencies under the DoD umbrella. Once you step outside, the alphabet agencies outside of DoD, you're back to needing strict full FIPS as a base requirement for procurement.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So a couple other things that Clint is saying here. Why isn't CC the new FIPS 140, and why won't it ever be the new FIPS 140? It's more flexible. A bunch of restricted stuff. You can't use TLS 1.0. You can't use triple DES. You can't. It's very, very specific. It's less expensive. Let's be honest. Money's a factor, whether we like it or not. So, whereas a common criteria evaluation might be 1.5 or 2 times the cost of a FIPS evaluation, that's a consideration, especially for a small company that's looking to leverage certifications for procurements. It's more focused. You're not worrying about all the other stuff. You're just looking at crypto. You're just looking at math. It's deeper testing. You're doing source code reviews. You're very focused and very looking. And as Clint said, procurements want it, right? It's not, you know, unless you're selling to the DoD, it's not what people are asking for. And as much as I like doing common criteria evaluations, I don't see a lot of people doing them for fun. There's a couple added additional things. So I mentioned that that FIPS is more flexible. The vast majority of FIPS evaluations now are FIPS inside evaluations. I talked about this last year at this conference, where they take a crypto module, validate that cryptography is correct, and then they put in their product, and anywhere they use it's good. Can't do that with common criteria. Right now, there's no concept of modular or functional protection profiles. That is will continue to be the biggest hindrance of why common criteria will not be the new FIPS 140. Okay. All right, guys, we're coming close to the end, so what's next? I'm just going to fly through this. Clint would usually be talking to the next slide, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Coming soon to a FIPS module new year, what's next? FIPS 140-3, one of the problems with FIPS 140 and one of the reasons, one of the downfalls is that it's old. Supposedly, FIPS 140-3 will come maybe a year, 2 years, I don't know, maybe sometimes before I retire, maybe. More algorithms, so that's constantly being constantly being evaluated what new algorithms are appropriate. So you're going to be seeing more and more of those come out. Automation. There's been a lot of talk around automating automating FIPS certification, automating algorithm testing. Anything that's automated necessarily drives down the cost, makes it easier for vendors to comply, better for the agencies who are procuring it. And more IGs. As long as the current version of FIPS, FIPS 140 is here, there's going to be room for interpretation, and we're going to be getting more of those. Is that good? Is that a good thing? Perhaps if you want to apply it to your technology, but that's just something else. Anyone who's worked with NIST IGs know that's a little bit of a joke. That's a good thing coming to it. It's a lot of updates. Let's look in our crystal ball and see what's in store. new functional requirements. Remember, new testing requirements. These are collaboratively developed and developed constantly. So you're gonna see this evolve as technology evolves. And new use cases, more protection profiles come out, which are super important for this to, if this standard ever wants to be the new FIPS 140. And modular, maybe modular protection profiles. There's been some talk of that. Maybe that comes out. Maybe that makes it significantly more relevant. So, is CC the new FIPS 140 one last time? You decide. So I don't know if we have any time or not, but if you have any questions or if I hopefully haven't put everybody to sleep. Thank you.